you need blue.
I know, it's great. Well, I was given this task. Is it wrong to blaspheme? And I think I'm preaching to the converted, because definitely it's wrong to blaspheme. I don't expect any of you that consciously will be thinking of blaspheming, especially blaspheming God. So it's more of explanation why that it's wrong to blaspheme. So the Bible has got number of words in the Old Testament. I'm not an Old Testament scholar, so I've got to rely on all the commentaries. So there's a word called noqua, which called to mean to puncture. And the King James, I'm using the King James to search for the word blaspheme. It means that to really punch and really make a hole, a dent into something, as you understand. Then there is lowat or lotas, and it's to scorn, to mock somebody or to mock a being. Then there is the gadaf, is to revile, to speak very evil of. And then there is a kada, to defame. It's the last one, which I find interesting. It only happened in one of the scriptures, as far as I could see, and I'll explain to you later. It actually means to kneel, and in implications, to bless God. But at the end, by euphemism, is to curse, or to God or king, as treason. Now that's interesting. That means that it might be that a hypocrite, they might kneel to God, and then they will say that they bless God and everything and all that, but they don't actually mean it, okay? But it happened in only one of scripture. The New Testament one is easier, because only one word, so it's easier. It's blasphemia, which is just to vilify or vilification, to really bring somebody down from a level to a lower level. So just to summarize, that the word blaspheme is to use some form of offensive word or to make statement that shows no respect for God or religion. So that is a kind of very simplified definitions of blaspheming. There are different types. If you look at the internet, there are different types of blasphemy. It can be a verbal blasphemy, so using disrespectful languages, either towards God, religion, or figure, or any sacred text as well. They can mean that a mocking of religious rituals or practices, or it's cursing God with the word itself, or expressing really hatred towards the divine. It can be a visual one. That means people are defacing and then sharing offensive artwork of the portraying religious figures in a derogative manner, and defacing even a religious symbol or statues or place of worship. Then there's the intellectual one. That means that in the mind, and they try to convince people that they challenge the doctrines of religions or belief openly and disrespectfully as well, and denying the very existence of God. So those are the kind of similar different type of blasphemy. Do you know that in the world there are places which have got a law against blasphemy? And those are the kind of summary of the picture. The one in the red, that means that there are places which actually put you to prison. And some people, that they will be given death sentences as well. Now, I'm sure that those are the ones, you know, that they're mostly from an Islamic kind of country. They put people to death for blaspheming their God. But then in Russia, obviously, there are Orthodox Church as well. So there are people that who will say that they're going to be put in prison because of blaspheming, even so-called the Christian God. But then the so-called Western world and other China and other places, there's no blaspheming law. And England and Ireland and UK, there are certain type of blasphemy laws as well. So let's think about the blasphemy within the United Kingdom, the law of blasphemy. Now, the law of blasphemy, it says that at the beginning, right, obviously, you can talk about medieval time or other places. It says that its base is needed to uphold the national law. Why that we need a law of blasphemy is to uphold the national law, because the national law in this country is based on Christianity. So targeting Christianity is actually targeting the very foundation of the England, the English law. However, the thing is that in 2008, it's very close actually, it's in this kind of a century, the law was actually abolished in 2008 by this Criminal and Justice and Immigration Act, and that is in England and Wales. Scotland also abolished it in 2021, closer, even 2024, only recently, of hate crime and public order of 2021. Northern Ireland, the law remained, but it's never been used for many years. Now you can see why now that the nations, the country, the moral standard has gone really right down nowadays, because people do not have respect to God and Christianity, which is the very base of the foundations of England and other things as well. It's a national law. So they don't have respect to the blasphemy or God. That means that they don't have respect to the national law. And there are so many crimes and so many other things happening. In America, you see the hate crime, there are gun crimes, there are any other type of crimes over there, because they totally abolish some of the laws that in for blasphemy as well. So it's something that blasphemy, in fact, is the basis of a lot of criminal activity. So now that after talking about the law, the sinful things that in our own between one and other, let's think about how God reacts to blasphemy in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the word, according to the King James, it only appeared 19 times. So the one there, which is Leviticus, is talking about that an Israeli woman that who came as a wife of Egyptians. Okay? She's Israeli, but she married an Egyptian. It says that the Israeli woman son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed, and they brought him unto Moses. His mother's name was Shemorith, the daughter of Dibri and of the tribe of Dan. So she is an Israeli woman, but married an Egyptian. So that one is a cross marriage already. What happened to the son? He had a fight with an Israeli man. So these mixed marriages produced a descendant, but he was fighting with an Israeli man, and during that fight, that person, that son, blasphemed God in a puncture way. The noqua, in a puncture way, it really probably make a really big bad name of God and really cursing God, especially in the heat of the time that after the fight with the Israeli man. So when they were brought to Moses at that time, there's nothing, there's no laws was given how to handle the case. And then Moses had to wait until the law, until the Lord or the God himself, that give him some direction how to deal with it. And this is the direction. The Lord or God said that, and he that blasphemes the name of the Lord, Yahweh, he shall surely be put to death. It's very, very harsh type of thing. Now, we know that these days, the Islamic law will say you can be put to death for blaspheming the law. And you can talk about all the kind of civil things and all that, whether they're just to do that. But in the Old Testament, there is a very, very important and severe penalty. It's been put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him. He'll be stoned to death, whatever blaspheme. As well, the stranger, as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, then shall be put to death. So it's very severe punishment. Now, I know that in country, they use kind of religious police as well, and they can be quite wrongly using the law in order for their own benefit. But the Old Testament, it believed that God is the one who is just, and then he gave the law, and the people had to obey that. Then, there is another way of blaspheming God. In 2 Samuel 12:14, howbeit, because by this deed, that's given great occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme, they're using to scorn, to speak less of that, the child also that's born unto thee shall surely die. And that is when David had a son, that with Bathsheba, and Nathan came to David. He, because his act of adultery produced a descendant, and that descendant became the reasons why any enemies of David, why any enemies of God can then mock. Oh, look at this great man, the one that who has got the heart of God. Then he still blasphemed, and then he produced this son, which is out of adultery, and also killed Uriah. So our deed that David has done has got implications to God. And because they gave an occasion for the enemy of God to blaspheme, to speak ill of God, see what you have done. So like Satan, that he will be up in heaven. Now see that though all your children, all that, they all rebel against you. Okay? So you give a reason for the enemy to scorn God. Then the other one is talking about Hezekiah. And they said unto them, that said Hezekiah, the day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. For children are come to the birth, and there's not strength to bring forth. And that is when he had trouble from the Assyrian trying to conquer Israel, and Sennacherib defiled the Lord, and he was saying to God that, look, your enemy are defiling you. So when he went to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, thus shall ye say to your master, that saith the Lord, be not afraid of the word which thou hast heard, with which the servant of the king of Assyria hath blasphemed to revile me. So he said that he was reassured by Isaiah. Say, those enemies, they might use all different type of technique. They might use all different type of technique to try to demeaning God, to scorn him, and to then make little of him. But do not be afraid, he said that, because at the end, your iniquities and iniquities of your father together, said the Lord, that's talking to the Syrian kings, Nisqab, which have been burned incense upon the mountain and blaspheme, that's called what, to defame me upon the hill. Therefore will I measure the former word unto their bosom. So we know that judgment is there for those that who blaspheme as well, who speak little of God. However, then we know that for those that who believe in God, for those who seek God's help, then there is a salvation and protection by the seed of that God has given unto us as well. Then, and there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him, and the man Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth. Now, this is the one that is, remember that King Ahab, he really want a vineyard, and then Naboth did not want to sell unto him. So he then, Jezebel, have this plot in order to say that, now look, you can go and kill him, because that you can use false witnesses then to accuse him, and the false witnesses use the word blaspheme is Baruch. So he cannot say that he has said anything about God openly with really dirty word and other word of cursing God and all that, but he was perhaps hypocritically, Baruch, hypocritically of your euphemism that when he is kneeling down, portraying, saying to bless God, but it's a form of blasphemy. So it's a false witness over there. So we can see that people can still mock us that even though that we are humble ourselves, but there are times that, of course, that people are accusing people are definitely true that they will do all this kind of thing. It's only on the show, but there's nothing in the heart. So this is the one that using the word of Barak over there. So we come to the New Testament, the blasphemia is slightly different because it happened quite a lot of times, 40 times. And most of them, that they are targeting to the Lord Jesus. They were using, probably, if you use the Hebrew word, that they will be using the word that earlier on, we talked about that word here, it's called the Barak, that in order to tell the Lord Jesus that, look, in Matthew, it said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, and adultery, fornication. But those are not the word that talking about Barak, the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus said that there are still people who blaspheme. And blaspheming is out of the heart of the people. And then, because men are lover of their own self, covetous, boaster, proud, blasphemers. Because people are lover of themselves, that's why they speak evil of God. So that's why that now in England, there's so many people, then they take the name of God in vain, they said there's no existence of God, then there are all the God, look at all the Christians, that they'll be doing all the horrible things of other people, and they're supporting perhaps Israel and other things that they Christians, right? And abortion and all of things that they were using, that in fact that they are, there's no God, your God is actually quite cruel God over there. So there are people that out of the love of themselves, they want the old so-called the human right, the individual right, rather than God's right, and then out of them, they are definitely a blasphemer of God that way. But now, you also put off all this raw anger, wrath, malice, blaspheme, filthy communication out of your mouth. For Christians, Paul said to the Christians that you know that they are wrong. You know that the heart proceeding all this evil thought. You know that your man, that they have love for themselves. Put them away. Clear them away from our heart that we might actually have intentioned or intentionally that blaspheme God. But put it away. Put it out of our mind, our head. And that is our duty on to do so. In Revelation, because that blasphemy of God is identifying that with the beast and also the woman which has been portrayed in the book of Revelation. It's talking about this now, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw this beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, upon his head the name of blasphemy. If you want to identify yourself with the beasts which are going to be condemned in the book of Revelation, then you do blasphemy. And then, of course, that this woman also, that he opens his mouth because that beast is continue to speak wrongly about God, to scorn God, to punch, in a sense, that the name of God and then his tabernacle and all that dwell in heaven. And so he carried me away, and also this identify with this woman who sit upon a scarlet and colored beast full of names of blasphemy. So blasphemy is not only one act, it's all different types. You can talk about the types, whether it's verbal, whether it's intellectual, or whether it is by painting or other word form as well. And then I said that, of course, that the blasphemy can be wrongly accused by politicians, by so-called religious leaders, if you don't use it properly. And those are the things that the law has wrongly been accused. Behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemed, because that the Lord himself said that thy sin has been forgiven thee. And that's right, the reason why that the people thought that he was blaspheming. Because why does this man does speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God? But Christ is God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. The Lord is God himself. That's why he's able to then heal the people and forgive sin. Only God can forgive sin, and Christ can forgive sin. But with their ignorance, they have no idea that even though with all the miracles and evidence that Christ has been speaking to them, that they still try to demeaning and defame the name of the Lord Jesus by saying that he was blaspheming God there. And then the high priest also say that he has spoken with the law before the council and claiming that to be the Christ. He said, are you the Christ? You know, are you the Messiah to come? And he said, thou sayest, you have said that. And the law before the council claiming himself to be the Christ, the Son of God. So they would say that, why are this one that, you know, any more witness that we need? Behold, now we have heard this blasphemy. But the God himself, Christ himself, spoke the only truth. If he didn't speak the truth, he didn't have to commit so-called the blasphemous act that according to the Pharisees. But Christ himself spoke the truth, and also they were told that he was the blasphemer. And then even in Stephen, before the council of the Sanhedrin, and they were setting up false witnesses. The man ceased not to speak blasphemy against this holy place and the Lord. So there are people, the so-called, when you have the law, which in a sense they put people to death, there are false witnesses. There are also false accusers, which is, in fact, that is what the world is. They're false accusers of the deed that Christian does, that their motive, and they're challenging all the time. And then John said that, say ye of him, whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemous, because I said, I am the Son of God. Christ himself said himself, I am the Son of God. And it's true that he's talking about. And people always say that they are the one that who did not believe him as the Son of God. He's now pointing the finger back to you. If you don't believe me as the Son of God, you are the blasphemer. Not that you're just, you know, accusing me. You are the blasphemer yourself. So we talk about blasphemy. We got a top verbal, visual, and international. But the Bible speaks also of the very one, or the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Now, we said about that in the Old Testament, that the blasphemy will actually result in the death penalty of the person. And this death penalty, if, say, for example, the Lord himself was given the death penalty by the people, by the human. But doesn't mean that he was the one that he is going to die eternally. But we know that from the Bible, in the New Testament, when the Lord speak of blasphemy, the Holy Spirit, he himself said that all manner of sins and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto man. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, shall not be forgiven unto man. And he said also, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost shall never have forgiveness, but is in danger not only the damnation of this world, but eternal damnation. It's quite serious, isn't it? It's very serious. Blaspheming against God upon this earth already, that causing the death penalty. But then, blaspheming of the Holy Spirit is eternal penalty. And Luke said, whosoever, the all three gospel talk about that, whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but to him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. So it's not even the apostles say it. It's the Lord Jesus himself who said it before the Holy Spirit come to us. So what is the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit? This one of definition which I copy from the internet. The blaspheming of the Holy Spirit is different because it is not an act of ignorance. So it's not just out of a fight, something that we just spur out of the word, and it's not ignorant that, you know, I don't know about God, so I'm going to speak evil of him. In fact, it's active and willful defiance. You have got to choose willingly, mentally, intellectually, to blaspheme, slander, and reject the work of the Holy Spirit. Remember the Pharisees we mentioned earlier? They saw the miraculous power of God at work because they saw the demon-possessed boy completely healed. So we know about that gospel, or the act, not the story. The actual act that the demon has been pushed away, but the fact is that, oh, they use the power of Beelzebub, the prince of the darkness over there. That is a blaspheme in the Holy Ghost. The demon was cast out, and the boy who was blind and mute could now see and talk. There's no denying of the power of God was on display. So you have got to willfully say that, well, this is all really not God himself. Now, that means it's a continuous act. You, hopefully, all of you, do not blaspheme. But if you don't believe after hearing the word of salvation, after hearing that God himself has died for your sin, after you've been to Sunday school, after you've been to Riverbank, to hear the story of kindness of Jesus Christ, to hear about that he died for our sin, and we are sinner needing salvation, are you actively rejecting the Holy Spirit and say, it's all rubbish, and we don't have to do anything? You're not going to give your heart to him? You're not going to give your heart to the very God who protects us all the time? Not give you time to read the Bible? Not give you time to really understand what it is? Now, I myself, in fact, that was not brought up in assembly on church meeting. Then young people, let's warn you, you have been brought up right from the beginning, some of you from a baby, that listening to the word of God, listening to the scriptures, why are you not still stepping forward in order to accept the Lord Jesus Christ unto yourself? Because if you don't do anything, this seems to me this is a blaspheming and willfully rejected the Holy Spirit over there. So how do we avoid blasphemy? Verbal blasphemy, there can be any forms. There are people that are using different kind of word. Perhaps that they do not know how to express. They might be using it as exclamations, oh my, whatever. Okay? Because they have no other objective or adjective in order to use. Like swearing. I mean, I got a friend who are in Ireland. He always swear. Okay, he's a very nice guy, but always use the word. Because I don't think that he find any other word which can describe, you know, his actions. So he's just using that word in order to describe it. Okay? But there are many other words you can use. That exclamation I was thinking about it, what's the alternative? Like fiddlestick, banana, whatever you want to call it, okay? The exclamation, oh, banana, okay, my dear, or whatever. It's much less than taking the word of God in vain, because we know in the Ten Commandments, taking the word of God in vain is also a form of blasphemy. I don't think that you will be cursing God or even that demeaningful God, but even taking the word of God in vain, I think that's a form of blasphemy. Of course, that in the kind of the world that people will say that, oh, I'm going to be creative about what the image of Christ is. They will go into all different kind of form. And those are that, you know, probably not me, those who want to, especially in artwork, are very good in doing that. They will have all different kind of way of dealing with it. I think Gus has been talking about that. All those are old artists. When they are not drawing and respecting the image of Christ, the art will seem to again go in a haywire type of form. They seem to be not as good and as, you know, as a kind of, I would say that majestic majestic that in a way of portraying even the artist's work as well. So there's something that you need to avoid as well. And then, of course, intellectually of your belief, are you freely in yourself that believing the existence of God rather than denying it as well? But of course that the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which can be defined speaking evil of the true word of the Holy Spirit and wrongly attributing to the evil, hopefully none of you will do that. However, sometimes that we are blaspheming God but not trusting it. At the beginning, as we said, that I wasn't brought in a Christian family, but then I'll be using all different kind of words, but not blaspheming willfully the Holy Spirit. I'll be using all the swearing words and other things, and then not defacing the images, but at least that, you know, I would be using things, the name of God in vain. And Paul was one of them. Paul himself was one of them, because the Lord said that, if you don't believe me, you are the blasphemer. You don't believe in the Son of God, you are the blasphemers. And Paul himself was one of them. He was the blasphemer because he did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ until then he met the Lord in the road to Damascus. However, when he knew that who is the true God, he said that, I obtained mercy. I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. You can be ignorant in unbelief, but then, thank God, thank the Lord, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith enough which is in Christ Jesus. Remember, Paul was the one that who prosecuted the Christians. He get letters that he can go anywhere. Therefore, those who believe a follower of the Lord Jesus, then they will be taken to prison or be persecuted. And Paul himself knew the grace of the Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save not righteous but sinners, of whom I am chief. He knows that he was a chief sinner. Now, none of you hopefully have persecuted Christians, but yet that, and even those that who are listening might be on in the web, that you might not be the one persecuting Christians, but yet that you know that Christ is the one that who came to save you and me as sinners, not the righteous one, because we know that none is righteous. And Paul, even though he's the chief of the sinner, but yet he still can find grace and mercy and abundance with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That's why he can believe. See, Paul had the chance to believe. You have the chance to believe as well. How be for this cause obtain mercy? That's in me first. Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. There's somebody in the door. Let's come in. Sorry. That with long suffering, that means his patience. You know, Christ will come. If the last sinner would have been saved, but he is now extending the day of grace for you and for those that who have not believed in the Lord Jesus to come unto him for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So the blaspheming of the Holy Ghost is eternal damnation, but the belief on him is life everlasting. So you got a choice now. So the question, is it wrong to blaspheme? Yes, in both that, in the verbal, in the visual, and also intellectually, but mainly that also, that in the blaspheme of the Holy Spirit. And I presume, and I pray to God, that none of you will be in this category, but come, like Paul, the chief of sinner, but believing on him, can then have life eternal, and have really eternal life. In that part, shall we just pray?